to the Government Affairs Update for Friday, June 18th. And we have with us today Steve Hall, who's going to give us an update on exactly where things stand with infrastructure and what movement, if any, there has been on the issue on the Hill. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Jeff.
Well, so where do things sit right now? Because it seems like we're hearing multiple things from, depending on who you talk to. You talk to the White House, you hear one thing. You talk to some members of the Senate, it's a different story. You know, what's your sense of the status of negotiations?
Well, Jeff, they're still talking, and this is a good thing, but the clock is ticking. You know, we saw, I think, last week, the collapse of talks between Senate Republicans led by Senator Shelley Moore Capito and the White House to try to cut a deal. But we saw also this new bipartisan effort, a group of 10 Republican and Democratic senators attempting to come up with a compromise, to still find a bipartisan compromise. And those discussions are continuing. In fact, there was a proposal, a $1.2 trillion proposal put forward. Not a lot of details have been released just yet, but you know, there's indications that the two sides are trying to get closer together. Again, the price tag is moving closer to where the administration wants to be. And we're hearing the administration is open to the idea of utilizing unused funding from past COVID packages passed by Congress as a way of paying for this package. So it's a good thing that they're talking, but like I said, the clock is ticking. We've sort of heard indications from the White House yesterday that they may give this another week to 10 days and then make a decision to go it alone and try to pass something with just a Democratic vote. So we hope the bipartisan talks continue. But I think we should hold no illusions that this is going to be difficult, and we're going to probably need, you know, some concessions on both sides. The president campaigned on a pledge not to raise taxes on anyone with incomes below $400,000. You know, Republicans are coming forward with user fees, with indexing the gas tax, and vehicle miles traveled, and this is a good thing in Republicans publicly embracing this, but doing that would violate the president's tax pledge. He is continuing to favor tax changes on the corporate side and on the top rates for individuals. So whether they can get there, they've got some big mountains to get over. But like I said, they're talking. That's a good thing. We're certainly doing everything we can to encourage that.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they're talking, that's a good thing that there are still open lines of communication. But it is getting to that point where it's going to be, you know, you got to make a decision and what's the path forward on getting the bill done. And
Now, one thing to add to that, you know, we had this parallel effort. Matt Reifer talked about this last week when we sat down. We've got a surface transportation bill in the House that's going to get voted on by the end of this month. And we have a surface transportation in the Senate bill, which is very bipartisan. They're still piecing it together. Another bipartisan piece is going to get voted on this week. But the passage of those initiatives in the House and the Senate creates a potential pathway for the White House and for lawmakers to do something on infrastructure. If that continues to pick up steam, and particularly if the Senate stays very bipartisan in moving that legislation, and creates a scenario where a compromise bill could actually get to the White House by the end of the year, that's a vehicle for a larger package. That's something that you know, congressional leaders, the White House could seek to add pieces of the president's plan, for example, that have bipartisan support. So we've got these negotiations with the White House. We've got this parallel effort going on in Congress right now, also on infrastructure. Both could lead to success. You know, both could merge at some point potentially, or it could be something where the highway bill, the surface transportation bill, becomes the driver for something bigger.
Now, you raise a good point there, because you do have an ideal vehicle in both chambers, in each chamber. Substantial reauthorization packages too, which could serve as that vehicle to be the foundation of a larger package as it moves through the process. So, I mean, that's the other thing that is in play, and it seems to be probably the more realistic option at the end of the day. I mean, that you already have a bill that's moving through the process, and if you can do something in conference, generally, you know, you start adding things on in the Senate and, you know, it gets kicked back over, that there you go. If you need your opportunity to get a bigger package move, starting with two reauthorization bills, which have must pass, must do deadlines behind them.
They really do. Because, you know, these programs expire at the end of September. So that clock is also ticking, and lawmakers are very cognizant of the fact that they don't want to see that program lapse. So, but again, this is something Congress knows how to do: highway bills. I neglected to mention both the House and the Senate have big water infrastructure bills. The Senate's already passed theirs. The House will probably pass theirs the end of this month. So you can see, you know, the pieces potentially coming together for an infrastructure win by the end of the year.
Well, we'll keep watch on it. I mean, that's something that, you know, it's in the news. It's something that we're watching very intimately. We have, you know, talking to members of Congress on a regular basis. The other issue, which is, of course, one of our major priorities, infrastructure is kind of the meta issue, which we're following on a daily basis. But the one that we're really keyed in on continues to be the PPP FAR credits clause issue. We launched a campaign. I want to thank everyone out there who has taken part to contact their member of Congress on the issue. And you can go again to www.acec.org/PPP to take a look at our site on the credits clause, where you can also click to contact your member of Congress or tweet a message of support. That has been very successful so far. We want to keep the momentum going. Steve, you've been working on this nonstop. What's the update that you can provide today?
Well, first of all, the need for that member engagement, sending notes to congressional offices, your House and Senate members, doing things on social media. Please continue to do that, as Jeff indicated, because I got to tell you, it's working. We're hearing from offices. We're talking to offices that are telling us directly, we are really hearing from engineering companies on this. So that is working. It is absolutely critical to our success, and quite frankly, critical to our success regardless of what issue we're working on, our ability to mobilize our citizen lobbyists and get them to weigh in. Really hammers home the importance of whatever our position is and makes it real. It's one thing when they're hearing from lobbyists in Washington, but quite another when they're hearing from employers back home, emphasizing the need for a fix. We're focused. We're doing meetings with committee staff this week with the goal of getting some language into that infrastructure package that'll get voted on at the end of this month. We're meeting with the Transportation Committee, like I said, this week, the Oversight Committee this week, to discuss a path forward, and getting interest and support from more lawmakers. So I feel like we're making some progress, and hope to have some news to report to the members here fairly soon.
Great. Well, you know, the other thing that kind of ties into this, of course, you know, coming to you on Friday morning, hopefully everyone was able to take some time out of their day yesterday to watch our Engineering Excellence Awards. Really our first, it's really our last time. Hopefully we're going to have to do it on like broadcast. We can do this actually in person, but it was a great broadcast. Ross Schaefer, again, was wonderful as our MC. And we have the big Grand Conceptor, of course. Congratulations to IMEG Corporation for the work on the Denver Water Operations Redevelopment Complex. Fantastic, good example of sustainable engineering design there. But again, you know, this was a great opportunity to recognize 173 projects from across the country and the world that really exhibit that message of quality, ingenuity, the essential value that engineering provides to society and the economy. A lot of these firms, you know, are range in size, and I'm sure that at least, you know, a few of the 173 were in the position of saying, you know, we got to take out a PPP loan. And, you know, you have these firms that have been recognized by a juried competition to say that this project that you worked on was an example of excellent engineering. You know, there's a tie in there about saying the work that the engineering firms are doing is essential, number one. And number two, you know, the PPP Far Credits Clause is harming, you know, the very companies that are designing this essential infrastructure. I mean, what do you think of the nexus between those two things?
Yeah, Jeff, it's absolutely right. I mean, you know, engineering firms are working out there every day, literally saving the world, saving the planet, solving lots of problems. And in many cases, it's those smaller firms that really relied on those PPP loans to keep their employees working and that face a real problem and a real threat from this misguided application of a regulatory provision that was never really intended or never really envisioned a program created at a time of national emergency to save jobs. And yet that's exactly what's happening. And these firms are risk losing these critical assistance. So, you know, it does underscore the importance of Congress stepping in and providing some relief here, because, you know, these are the firms that are doing just amazing things. And the project award winners that we saw last night, I mean, these projects literally are changing society in just a wonderful way, and just responding to so many different challenges and creating so many different opportunities. So, you know, We need to protect these folks and give them the opportunity and the means to keep doing these great things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about talking to members of Congress, especially if, you know, you're a constituent number one and you're a constituent business owner number two, that's great. That helps really get their attention. But at the end of the day, you know, you boil down the policy and the programs, the numbers on the page and the legislative text, and what you're talking about are either authorizing or putting appropriations in place to fund infrastructure. What does that mean? At the end of the day, that means the projects that we talked about last night, the actual translation from legislative text to say we're going to be investing X amount of money to this program yields the project to benefit a community. And yesterday's awards program showed you the end result. That end result only happens when there's an engineering firm designing the project. And communicating that to members of Congress is critically important. And, you know, EEA has a great, I think, policy communications component to it, because if you are one of those firms that won an NRA award or a grant or an honor award, and you really want to hammer home the importance of infrastructure and then also, you know, really PPP fairness, show that member of Congress your project. Show them what you did. How did that benefit the community? What was the social impact? What was the economic impact? How did that improve your community, his district, her district? That's compelling, and that moves people to action. So take that advantage. You have this great program. You have this great project, rather. Show it to the member of Congress that you know represents your firm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that project really illustrates in very graphic terms, again, what the industry does to improve society. So it's a great way of conveying that value.
Absolutely.
Proposition.
Well, we will stay tuned to all the developments in Washington. We'll want to have you back on to talk about how those meetings went with TNI, with the oversight committees on PPP. And of course, you know, any big changes that happen on infrastructure, we want to keep that on everyone's mind. So we'll make sure to have you back on to talk about that, Steve. Until then, I really do appreciate you taking the time out of a very busy day. And thanks again.
Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. That was Steve Hall. He is the lead on our advocacy efforts on your behalf here in Washington, D.C. This has been the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for June 18th. We'll see you next time.